this body.
This body.
Kimannatatuhu.
Kimannatatuhu.
Does it belong to the employer?
Does it belong to the employer?
Who gives me the money to maintain it?
Who gives me the money to maintain it?
Swam. Or does it belong to me personally?
Or does it belong to me personally?
Ishetuhu.
Ishetuhu.
Or does it belong? To the person who discharged the semen.
To the person who discharged the semen.
Matuhu eva.
Matuhu eva.
Or does it belong?
Or does it belong?
To the mother who maintains this body within her womb.
To the mother
who maintains this body within her womb.
Cha.
And?
Matu pitu va.
Matu pitu va.
Or does it belong?
Or does it belong?
To the father of the mother.
Because
sometimes the father of the mother takes a grandson as an adopted son.
Takes a grandson as an
adopted son. Kind of nice.
Balinaha.
Or does it belong?
Or does it belong?
To the person who takes this body away by force.
To the person who takes this body away by force. Great to
who? Or to the person who purchases the body as a slave.
Adnehe.
Or to the fire.
Because ultimately the body is burned.
Shunaha.
Or to the dogs and vultures.
That ultimately eat it.
Api.
Even.
Ba.
Or. Translation. While alive, does this body belong to its employer, to the self, to the father, the mother, or the mother's father? Does it belong to the person who takes it away by force, to the slave master who purchases it, or to the sons who burn it in the fire? Or if the body is not burned, does it belong to the dogs that eat it? Among many possible claimants, who is the rightful claimant? Not to ascertain this, but instead to maintain the body by sinful activities is not good. So you can repeat. While alive, does this body belong to its employer?
Does this body belong to its employer?
To the self?
The self.
To the father, the mother?
To the father, the mother.
Or the mother's father?
Does it belong to the person
who takes it away by force, to the slave master who purchases it, or to the sons who burn it in the fire?
Or if the body is not burned,
does it belong to the dogs that eat it?
Among many possible claimants,
who is the rightful claimant?
Who is the rightful claimant?
Not to ascertain this.
But instead to maintain the body.
By sinful activities is not good. So there's no purport to this text. So we read text 12 with its translation and purport. Evam sadar and hung deham yoga prabhava gayam covidvanatma satkritva undi chantum rite sataha. This body, after all, is produced by the unmanifested nature and again annihilated and merged in the natural elements. Therefore, it is the common property of everyone. Under the circumstances, who but a rascal claims this property as his own, and while maintaining it, commits such sinful activities as killing animals just to satisfy his whims? Unless one is a rascal, one cannot commit such sinful activities. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, E. John. Atheists do not believe in the existence of the soul. Nonetheless, unless one is very cruel, why should one kill animals unnecessarily? The body is a manifestation of a combination of matter. In the beginning, it was nothing, but by a combination of matter, it has come into existence. Then again, when a combination is dismantled, the body will no longer exist. In the beginning, it was nothing, and in the end, it will be nothing. Why then should one commit sinful activities when it is manifested? It is not possible for anyone to do this unless he is rascal number one. Prabhupada is very fond of that word, rascal. So, Om Gana Timurandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Meditam Gena Tismai Shikadavaya Maha. Okay, so what's being established here is the Ishavasya principle. And it's being established by negation, in one sense. Not this, not this, not that. There's a problem sometimes we'd use this particular logic or type of argument of negation. One time he was talking to some students, young students in the school, and he said, point to yourself. You know, point to yourself. It's not this, not this, not this, not this. Where is it? And of course, we understand it's in the heart, but it's not the heart. It's in the heart. That's transcendental. So, here, the same type of argument is applied. Does it apply to your mother? I mean, is the body owned by your mother, by your father, by your aunt or uncle, or there's further arguments to be made, like by the demigods or the slave master, or to your sons, or to the fire itself, or to the dogs. It's going through many different things here. So ultimately, by eliminating all these other particular alternatives, you come to the point that it must belong to the material nature. And then you come to the point where Krishna says, Aham sarvasya paramatmak sarvalokavartite, that everything comes from me. Bhumi rupo nilo vayu kamrano, as Krishna says in the Pratityashtava, the eightfold elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. And then also aham bija padapita, which is another statement that Krishna makes, that I am the seed-giving father. In other words, Krishna is the actual father. Krishna is the source of all the material elements. Before the creation, aham eva sameva great nanyayata sarasakparam. Before the creation, it was me. After the creation, I will exist. During the creation, I exist. So obviously, Ishavasa. He's the owner of everything. And so there, everything is meant to be used in his service. And Prabhupada makes a very interesting statement here in the translation of the second verse. Therefore, it is the common property of everyone. So I really want to unpack that statement, because if you just take that statement out of context, it's the common property of everyone, then I could say, Ishwara Chaitanya, your body belongs to me. I just want to take one of the kidneys. I need it right now. Actually, we need to auction it off so we can pay for the temple. So, don't get it. Don't worry. It's just a joke. Look at it. Ishwara with that shirt on. It's almost like getting hypnotized. You know, the different colors, isn't it? At least for me, they go back and forth. So, anyway, so that's really not what Prabhupada is indicating here, or Krishna is indicating, or Narada Muni is indicating, that everybody has a right to do whatever they want with anyone else's body because it's common property. What he's indicating here is that everything is Krishna's property. We're all connected to Krishna. Mami Vamsa Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We're all connected to Krishna, so in one sense, everything belongs to us, but actually belongs to Krishna. And Prabhupada is bringing out, or at least the verse is bringing out, this particular point of what Prabhupada talked about, spiritual communism. It was interesting. So I want to, this is really spiritual communism. Because in communism, you say everything belongs to the state or everything belongs to everybody. Of course, that didn't work very well. Because when everything belongs to everybody or everything belongs to the state, and workers rise up and throw out the bureaucrats, not the bureaucrats, but the businessmen, then you find when everything belongs to everyone, if you take that literally, nobody takes care of anything. Because Prabhupada made another statement. He said, proprietorship turns sand to gold. And Prabhupada, one time he was in a devotee's car, and the car wasn't taken care of very well. Prabhupada said, who does this car belong to? And the devotee said something like that to the temple. He said, well, it should belong to one or be under the care of one particular individual because they'll be responsible. You know, so that's why you have an ISKCON, at least in the past. I don't know what it's like now, because I'm aloof from those things. So in the past, the car would always be very low on petroleum, or what you call gasoline here in America. And it would be very low in oil. Nobody would check the oil on the car. You're just like, why would you check the oil? It's Krishna's car. And so, or the tires. I remember, this is interesting, the only car accident I ever got into was when I was driving Krishna's car one time. In a temple, this is Gainesville, Florida. We were going to Jacksonville on a preaching engagement, and all of a sudden there was a torrential rain. And the rains in Florida are unlike the rains you have here. Here, you know, you think, oh, it's raining really hard. But in Florida, it really pours cats and dogs, literally. Or maybe figuratively, but just, it's amazing. So, Krishna's car, or the tires on Krishna's car didn't have any treads on them. So I learned what aquaplaning was at that particular point. And the car started floating on the road. And I was driving, and I said, oh my God. And then, you know, we flipped the car on the side of the road. I mean, I didn't get hurt. One of my godbrothers, Purna Pragya, got hurt, and his wife was Narayani. Narayani, famous Narayani. And last time I was in the same place she was, I said, well, can I drive you somewhere? She said, you're never driving me anywhere. Because she remembered after 50 years in the Hare Krishna movement. But it wasn't my fault. It was the car had no tires. Why didn't you check the tires, you rascal? So anyway, in Russia that was a problem too, that they would leave the tractors out without being taken care of, and they would rust. And even when Prabhupada went to New Taliban, he saw the tractors out there. He said, we have nothing against tractors, but take care of them, put them in a barn, because there's Krishna's property. So you see there is that tendency of not caring for them. Just like even here in New Goloka, you know, we've had a variety of different implements and tools and everything like that. And finally, when it was decided to purchase a riding lawnmower, I said, the only way I'll purchase it is if Krishna Nam keeps it in his house. And he's personally responsible and nobody else touches it. Because otherwise we've gone through so many different lawnmowers. And, you know, someone forgets to put the oil in and says, well, there's a problem with the old lawnmower. You know, just like in computers too, you know, people have a problem with computers or whatever, because people just don't take care of them. Anyway, so, and if something belongs to you, really take care of it. Just like in my house, whenever I hear a lightning storm outside, I unplug all my computers and everything like that. Because I understand, well, it belongs to Krishna, but it's given to me in my service, and it would really impede my service if my computer fried. I don't think it would. One day I was living in a cabin in the woods, and there was a lightning bolt that hit up here, and it got carried down the telephone line and started a fire in my house. The curtains caught fire. So anyway, so spiritual communism. So how do we do that? It's not exactly material communism, because in material communism, there's no impetus to do anything. And if you try to make a class in society, it's pretty stupid anyway, because people are different. There's variety. Just like you see, everybody looks differently, don't they? Some people have certain talents, and some people don't have those talents, right? Some people can dance, and some people can't dance. Some people can be philosophical, and some people can't be philosophical. No matter what you explain to them, they just can't understand. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. So, spiritual communism means the institution of Krishna's system of varnashram. Chatur-varna-mayashrista-guna-karma-vibhagasya. That's what spiritual communism means. And also, daiva-varnashram. There's a difference between daiva and asura-varnashram. Asura means demon-varnashram. Because there's always varnashram in any society. It may not be recognized as that, but there's always an intellectual class. There's always a worker, there's always a kshatriya type of class, people want to protect others. There's always a vaishya class, your business people and agriculture. And then there's always a worker class. And so working under Krishna's direction, then each and every class has to be inspired in a different way to work for Krishna. For example, the Brahmins, they're inspired by, they like to perform a sacrifice, yajan, patan, dana, pratigraha. You know, they have different activities like that. It's like I was listening to Prabhupada's class this morning, and Prabhupada was describing how the Pandavas, before the battle of Kurukshetra, they didn't have any way to live because they didn't have any land or village. And Prabhupada, of course, it was Krishna who went and tried to get the Pandavas at least a village, and it was Duryodhana who said that we won't give the Pandavas even the land that can fit on the pin. Or sometimes said the head of the pin. In this particular class, Prabhupada said the point of a pin. That's even less. The point of a pin is very small. He said, we wouldn't even give, he wouldn't even give the Pandavas that. And then Prabhupada explained that the Pandavas, being Kshatriyas, they needed at least a village. I mean, it wasn't proper for them to engage in a brahminical activities to maintain themselves, and they wouldn't be happy. So, varnashram means that everybody has to be engaged according to their psychophysical nature, serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And everything belongs to Krishna, but you're given certain things to use in Krishna's service that you are personally responsible for. Another point about this common property thing is Prabhupada commented sometimes about immigration and nationalism. He would sometimes get very upset when he would go enter a country and the immigration people, they would ask him so many questions, harass him. And some countries, they didn't even let Prabhupada in. I think it was Singapore. Yeah, Singapore. They didn't even let Prabhupada in. Of course, they don't let devotees into Singapore unless you dress up like a demon. Sorry, not demon. Unless
don't wear
a neck. Yeah, don't wear neck beads. Don't have a sikha. You can wear a yarmulke, you know, over your sikha. You can't get into Singapore. But actually, the fault, just to tell you why it's like that, is not so much the government's fault in Singapore. It's the rich religious Brahmins got real upset with the Hare Krishnas. They complained to the government, and the government, being controlled by the rich religious Brahmins or influenced by the rich religious Brahmins, instituted that particular rule that Hare Krishnas can't come in the country. Once you're in, it's all right. Then you can just go on Harinama, and they won't do anything to you. So, anyway, Prabhupada would stop there, and then other places, Prabhupada would talk about immigration people like barking, like dogs. Like you see, you know, sometimes you go for a walk, and you happen to go close, or even on the opposite side of the street, to someone's property, and this big a Doberman Pinscher, or a German Shepherd, or pit bull. There are actually pit bulls around here, isn't it? I remember, I think where you used to live, there used to be a pit bull. Yeah, that's right. You know, two houses ago. There used to be a pit bull around there. You remember? There was a pit bull. And so, this is my property. And that's, you know, that's so animalistic. It's just like you see the animals, in order to mark their property, they pass urine on things. The dog, and the dog goes around. This is, of course, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. The dog goes around and he checks what level the urine's at to see if it's a bigger dog or a smaller dog. And if it's higher, he heads for the hills. Or sometimes you, going around Govardhan, sometimes you run into these dogs that were your disciples in the last life. And they're following. They're following. They're saying, Guru Maharaj, can we go on parikrama with you? And then we enter into another dog's territory. Has anyone experienced that at Govardhan? You enter into another dog's territory. And this poor dog gets attacked and I have to protect him. The immigration department in different sections of Govardhan. So Prabhupada said that this is, you know, this is something radical. Prabhupada said that people should have the right, this is all God's property, to go from one country to another. It's amazing. You know, it's so much against what we're hearing in the news, isn't it? Build a wall. Send them home. Hope I'm not making a political statement. It's not a political statement. It's just private. It's a philosophical statement. So send them home. Build a whole wall. No! Everybody... Yastu sarvani bhutani atmana ibana pashati sarva bhuteshu chakranam tatavigigushate. You have to love everybody. And not only everybody, even the plants and the animals. And just like the other, yesterday, you know, since it's fig season, I go and pick the figs for the deities. Some for myself. One for Krishna, one for me. One for Krishna, one for me. Anyway, I pick the figs. And as I'm picking the figs, I'm thinking about the plant. And of course, you know, this is important consciousness. The plant, the fig tree, is actually a devotee offering, making offerings to the deities. I mean, if you have that consciousness, you know, sometimes it's hard to get devotees to pick flowers, to pick figs, to pick vegetables or whatever is growing. It's just like easier to go to Walmart. Walmart is not an entity. Maybe it is. Sam Walton's expansion of Sam Walton, who passed away, you know, probably taking birth in Walmart. So, you know, I had that realization, I think it was 2 days ago, that while I was picking at it, it's just, this is so wonderful. I'm interacting with a devotee. And this devotee is offering something to Radha Golokananda. And then, that's really why a farmer can be out there all day long. You know, most devotees, if I tell them you go out, you do farming, you're thinking, what? What? That's what trappers are for. That's what people from a different country are for. You know, we're better than that. But it's just... it's devotional service. It's interacting. It's, what is it? Dadati pratigranati guyamatyati prichati. Farming is like that if you're giving the results to Krishna. And then it becomes very wonderful. And of course, we're talking about impetus. Because in normal communism, you don't have that impetus. Normal communism is just like, all right, you know, you got to do work. We're going to get taken care of no matter what. We'll get medical care no matter what. Now here I attack the leftists. So it doesn't matter, you know, just do the minimum. But in spiritual communism, it matters because you're interacting, you're doing something for Krishna, you're interacting with other living entities. You know, whether you're gardening or whether if you're even the Shudra, you're serving the higher classes who are Krishna conscious. the three higher classes are all Advaita, they're twice born. You talk about Varnashram, it's really nice. And I'm not just talking about farming now, because there's a lot more to know about Varnashram than just like plowing the field. But it's just like it's interactions with devotees all the time and serving Vaishnavas. Kshatriyas are serving the Brahmanas, Brahmins are serving the rest of the society, Vaishnavas are serving the Kshatriyas and the Brahmins, and there's especially everyone serving the Brahmins. And it's just, it's loving exchanges, and you're serving the plants while you're doing it, you're serving the animals, you know, like you're milking a cow. Very few people here milk the cow. I have. And you're just taking something for Krishna. It's just like, it's nectar. You know, I milk cows. You know, used to have a cow here. Devyani was her name. It's my pet cow. Remember Mother Krishna Priya? The rest of you weren't around. None of you were born except for me and Krishna Priya. Oh, Chintamani. And Chintamani.
Yeah, Chintamani was there.
Yeah.
Wait, did you know when Devyani was here? You went up for the inspiration of the deities? You went up for the other cows.
There's another cow? No, there's
Devyani. Well, Gopal was later.
Gopal was later and Bhumi was later.
Gopal was coming back today. So, anyway.
Didn't Devyani leave her body after the installation?
She left her body. Well, not really. Yeah, right after the installation, they fed her too much.
The installation
to town? No, they fed her. They fed her too much. Anyway, that's another thing. But it's nectar. You're just like interacting for Krishna. When something is done for Krishna and there's love and spiritual master, then you have purpose in life and everything becomes enthusiastic. Actually, I was listening to something that yesterday that Mr. Biden was talking about, which is really interesting. He was talking about mourning. I don't know if any of you saw this video, and I was just interested to see how people deal with mourning, and I'll explain how it's applicable and connected to what we're talking about. This is not a political statement. That he was talking about, you know, how he lost some family members, and then he was thinking after he lost them, and the main thing was that, of course, you know, I'm not saying it's illusion or not illusion, that's not really the topic. He said he was thinking after they left their body to do things that would be pleasing to them. And that kept them connected to the memory, or what he thought connected to them. Because, you know, sometimes people think that a person still lives on in their deeds. I mean, in Jewish religion, they teach you that, you know, good man lives on in his deeds. And in this way, you go on in life, but you're always thinking of the person. And I was actually connecting that to the mourning that we went through when Prabhupada disappeared, and how really then life becomes connected more to that person, because you're thinking more about that person. That's part of the mourning process. And that keeps you inspired to go on in life. So, anyway, apart from that, mourning, losing someone else, I just thought it was an interesting subject matter. But if you're thinking of pleasing a person, even though Krishna is not there in front of your eyes, or the spiritual master may not be in front of your eyes, because, you know, Vani and Vapu stuff. You know, Vani's there for some time, Vapu's there for some time, but Vani continues. But that personal connection is there. That really gives you inspiration without having to think that everything belongs to you or you have some personal property. And that's Varnashram, right there. That you're inspired because you have that personal connection with Guru or other devotees and ultimately with the Supreme Personality of God, and that spiritual communism works. And I think ultimately that has to be instituted in society. All right, so any questions or comments? Yeah, just a
brief. I was reading some time ago about communism and how it didn't work.
Yeah.
And how everybody's lazy.
Yeah.
And the obvious thing was that in the material world, everybody's envious.
Yeah.
And the only way that anybody ever worked in the Soviet Union is when they had dictatorial, I mean real dictatorial leaders like Stalin, So they were forced. But when it got looser, people became so envious of the leaders who were also cheating by taking more than, you know, like this one leader had 30 cars.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of communism is that? I get 30 cars, you don't get one. So this principle of envy, which is impregnates everything in the material world, destroys everything. Whereas when we become devotees, it's done out of love. And therefore it works. So anything in the material world that is common because everyone's envious is poison. And that's what we see everything in this world. The envy is the thing that destroys everything.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, who can love the state? You know, just, I mean, what is the state? Is it the flag? I'm dedicated myself. I mean, I guess some people are very patriotic. I mean, basically, maybe sometimes Kshatriya mentality. Maybe patriotic or heroic or something like that. But, you know, you got to love a person, not an impersonal thing. I could say, well, I love America. But basically, to be truthful, I love what America does for me. I mean, what is America? Or I may like the American ideals or something like that, but it's really amorphous. But when you have a person, like I think about Prabhupada, for example, I go to Mangalarti in the morning, and we're chanting the Guru Vashtaka prayers. I'm thinking, I'm chanting, sitting in front of Prabhupada, I'm chanting for him. So it's all personal. And when you do that, then impetus, enthusiasm is always there when it's a loving exchange. In other words, life in Varnashram is always a loving exchange. The Daivi Varnashram.
So it has to be a perfect person.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if it's not a perfect person, then you put your love in some sort of king or dictator, and they're not perfect.
So. Yeah, then you get disappointed. So, I mean, we have Prabhupada in our movement. And we have Krishna. Krishna's pretty perfect when I last checked. Except he does a few things that I don't like, but, like leaving Vrindavan. Yeah. So I'm sure there's no question. Anyways, Krishna's the most beautiful, most attractive person, and but it's not just that he's up there. He's also, in your heart. And he's interacting and you're having a loving exchange with him. It's one thing, you love someone like famous rock and roll star, Jimi Hendrix or whatever. And you just put him on your wall. I remember in the college dormitories, oh my God, it's horrible. When I went to the university, they put pictures of the ladies. Anyway, of course nowadays those ladies look like prunes with eyes on them. But anyway, apart from that, there are all these pictures, big posters of different girls, famous girls. And so I really love, I don't know. I don't remember any of them. Anyways, but they're not. They want to be served. It's not love. But that's why I brought out that example of Biden, remembering his son who passed away. I mean, he had this story how his son had this terminal disease, and his son told him, "Dad, I'm going, but don't lament, carry on," whatever he told him. And then that love was shown by his, at least in his mind, having that personal reciprocation with his son after his son passed away. And that keeps him going. He explained that. It was really, I found it quite interesting, that can be applied to Krishna consciousness. That our love for Prabhupada, or love for other great personalities, or the whole disciplic succession. I mean, you think about it, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. We should have love, because these people are still living in sound. You don't like that statement. He reasons ill who says the Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. So we can actually have personal relationships even with the past acharyas. And that really inspires us to do something for them. So, any other questions?
Can I ask here the translation is slaves and slave master.
Yeah, that means it was there in society, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
<Good run>.